here at the Innovation Summit in Tampa, Florida at the Amalie Arena. And again, we're in the blockchain hub sponsored by Blockspaces. And get lots of material, lots of people with projects here that are exciting and new. And one of those people is Jeremy Beal. He is with Faircar, and you can find out more on Facebook if you just check at our fair. Now, the thing is, it's not fairs like in a car fair, F-A-R-E. It's F-A-I-R, like in justice, fair and just. So that's Faircar, but it does have a lot to do with the fare that you pay for a car. Jeremy, what is your project here?
I am working on a self-automated rideshare application. And by me doing that, I get rid of all the minimums, like all the servers, infrastructures, and things like that.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me slow you down here. Say the phrase again that you're working on.
I'm automating out rideshare.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're automating rideshare. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So unlike Uber, you're going to be the you're going to make Uber obsolete, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Because Uber has infrastructure, servers, teams, overhead that I have to pay for. So what I'm doing is I am automating out all those processes so there's no fees. So if you're a driver, there's no 35% commission being taken out of your fare rides every day. And if you're a rider, there's no minimum fare. It's, you know, if it only costs you a dollar to go down the street, it shouldn't cost $5. It should just cost a dollar. And that's what I'm doing.
So you're taking the middleman out.
Yep.
And who negotiates the cost?
So for the cost, we're working on an algorithm that's just a fair price for both that everyone can commute. So it might be 30 cents a mile or 50 cents a mile to where it's cheap to where everyone can still make money, but at the same time, they'll get at a low price.
So when did you come up with this and why did you come up with it?
I came up with this about 6 months ago. I was actually a portfolio piece that I was just working on out of college, but I always wanted to build an iOS application. So as I was doing it, it just took off to where someone said, wow, you actually have something here. And I just kept programming and coding.
Okay. So we're going to come back to Faircar, but let me just speak with Jeremy Beal a little bit more on the personal side.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a project for your senior year of college? Or what?
So right when I graduated college, I wanted something to add to my portfolio. So I just started working on rideshare because I always wanted to learn iOS to show potential recruiters that, hey, I know how to program, I know how to develop, and it just took off from there.
So are you a local
yes.
student?
Yep. I went to St. Petersburg College.
All right. So the Innovation Summit here is really serving its purpose. It's making people aware of the talent that's in the area, including
right.
Jeremy Beal.
Yep, and there's a lot of talent, and I'm so happy that everyone's around. We're all co-working together. Like, I'm working with Michael right now on his Pocket application that we're going to use. So it's all about being a community and being together.
So where is the project in the progression line now?
Right now, we are about, safe to say, 70% through. I'm about to start linking it up to the local blockchain once we get that done and go from there.
So what's your time frame?
Time frame, fall of this year.
Fall of 2018. Are you still in the proof of concept, or are you beyond that now?
A little bit beyond that. Right now I'm just getting together, like, the user interface, proof of concept, trying to get the more gist of the local blockchain that we're about to start launching soon, and things of that nature.
I keep coming back to this, because half of the fascination here at the Innovation Summit isn't necessarily the product, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeremy, you're a local college graduate. How did you get this orientation in your life? Because there's lots of young people that are in school now, not just college. I'm talking, you know, they're in middle school. They haven't even thought about college,
mm-hmm.
per se. When did doing something in the technical field first appeal to you?
It appealed to me in, actually, high school. Originally, I was doing art, and I took a computer class in computer networking. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. So I started dabbling into that. And that's when I started learning programming. And just doing simple things like making a little calculator or a Frogger video game, it was, like, amazing because that's when you start learning how things work, and that's when it just took off and started becoming a passion.
And your first year out of college?
Yep, this is my first year out of college. I graduated in December.
well, I'm not going to rehash another interview, but I think this is about the third interview I've done where the person is 1 year out of college and they already are launching an application, which probably applies to a whole lot of the people that are sitting around us now. So do you have something you want to say to the young people out there? I'm sorry to single you out because you're not really any younger than the last time I talked to you. But you're the victim of my trend identification. So, Jerry, what do you have to say to people?
Honestly, I've learned this the hard way, and this is what a lot of people don't really like talk about, but things really get hard. You're going to go through the motions. You're going to feel like you're not accomplishing anything. But honestly, surround yourself with positive people and don't give up. Don't stop. And the key with failure is you don't really fail if you're having fun. Just keep having fun doing what you're truly doing. Who knows? If it's not into IT and you're good at art, just do art. Like, it will happen. You might, go through those sad motions, but keep up, keep practicing, have a ritual, have a program that you do every day, and that's it. You'll be fine.
Well, I think it's very appropriate from the words of Jeremy Beal there that his project is called Fair Car. Life isn't fair, but he's making it a little bit more fair in getting a ride in the Tampa Bay area. That's FAIR. Fair Car is the project. You can find out more about Jeremy Beal's work if you go on Facebook and search Our Fair, OurFair, and we'll be keeping track of him on the Henry Rain Show as we go forward. And Jeremy, thank you again for making time. I know you got a lot of people you have to talk to. I appreciate the time you spent with us.
No, thank you for giving me the honor to talk to you on the radio.
Thank you. We'll have more from the Innovation Summit after this. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Here at the Innovation Summit by Synapse Florida. We're in the Blockchain Hub with Shane Liddell. He is the CEO of the Crypto Economy Summit that's going to be coming to Tampa May 10th and 11th at the Tampa Convention Center. Looking forward to that. Shane, thank you for making a little time with us.
Hi, nice to see you, Neil.
Yeah, you've been very busy here at the table. I didn't know we were going to get any time to talk to you. A lot of people are excited about this. Of course, you're overlapping into other technology fields. What brought you here to the Crypto Economy Summit to the Innovation Summit? The mountain coming to Muhammad, or what?
Something like that, yes. But, you know, we looked at the situation. We had a summit coming up here, a broad technology summit, as in SNAPS. And we saw there's an opportunity to leverage their attendees and audience to promote our event and to also bring some basic level education to the attendees about Bitcoin and possible applications and so on. So we saw there's a great opportunity to get the word out that we'll be hosting our event 5 minutes from here, in fact, at the Tampa Convention Center in May.
Okay, and that's going to be May 10th and 11th, right here, just a couple months down the road. And what can people expect to find if they come to the Crypto Economy Summit?
Well, we've taken a slightly different approach in that, personally, I've attended many events, and based on feedback from those events, we've decided to, you know, that diversity is one of our objectives, to bring a diverse event to market, to be inclusive. For example, 35% of our speakers are women. That's unprecedented, so we hear from people who've attended many events over the years. And, you know, we're bringing speakers of color. Our screening process was quite a lengthy one in selecting speakers because we had to be, you know, more selective to represent what we feel is the right balance of gender and
right, not to point the finger at any particular conference, but it just in the past several months, there's been a lot of controversy in that aspect of a very large conference. So I got to commend you for being proactive and taking those steps. So besides the speakers, I imagine you're going to have an exhibition hall too?
Yes, we have a lineup of around about 50 speakers. In fact, we have more. We have around about 30 on the waiting list. We're going to use hall rooms A and B at the Tampa Convention Center for our main session. Of course, people on stage and speakers from around the world. Okay, so we're bringing speakers from around the world. Like I mentioned earlier, diversity is top of our list. We'll also have an exhibition hall, ballroom C, which we'll be using for exhibitors. We're expecting around about 30 to 40 exhibitors. We're a very focused event, as in specifically targeted towards those business attendees who want to learn how they can take away information back to their workplace and have conversations about how this technology can be applied to their own business processes and so on. So focuses on education, focuses on diversity, and focuses also on having a good time. You know, at the end of the day, we want people to have a good experience and to want to come back the following year to our second event here in Tampa.
The website is cryptoeconomysummit.com. That's crypto and then C-O-N-O-M-Y summit.com, Crypto Economy Summit. Now, Shane, you're not wet behind the ears to all this. This is something you've done before, I understand.
Well, look, I started just very briefly. I started my career as a technician, actually, an electronic engineer. And I, more recently, 6 years ago, became involved in the crowdfunding industry. Very grassroots. I see a lot of similarities between the Bitcoin blockchain industry and, in particular, ICOs, which are crowd sales, and the crowdfunding industry. So I followed what's been going on in this space. And, of course, it was a fairly natural pivot for me personally to consult in this space. For those that are going the fundraising route to raise capital. On the event side, by the way, yes, I have dabbled on the events side, but that was a few years back. I used to own a wedding lodge in South Africa. It was not my core business. I got some employees involved, females in fact, to run it, and it was more my weekend job, as in managing things on that particular day of somebody's wedding. And And of course, a wedding is a very important a day for everybody, and things have to go 100% right. Now, drawing on that experience, of course, our event is scaled much bigger than a wedding of 150 people. So I'm drawing on my own managing experience there to make sure we have everything in order. And we've got a great team involved, too.
For the marriage of the crypto economy and the Tampa Bay economy.
Yes, exactly.
It's a merger in the making here. Thanks to Shane Liddell of the Crypto Economy Summit. Shane, I'm going to just change directions just a little bit. Just ask you to put a crystal ball in front of you. And there's lots of things in the news that send cryptocurrency prices up and down, regulation. Overseas exchanges seem to have an effect on prices all around the world. Where do you see two months from now, May 10th or 11th, is like 2 years in crypto time. But where do you hope to be with the market here with Tampa Bay and the adoption of cryptocurrency and other technologies related?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things with a new industry and new markets, and it's a lesson we learned actually from the crowdfunding industry, is educating the masses is critical to the market growing and evolving. You know, we're grassroots right now in this industry. If I had a crystal ball, it probably would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But yes, you're correct. 2 months.
Or at least a couple of Bitcoin.
Exactly. You know, time today does not stand still. Technology is racing forward at a huge pace. And what do I see happening between now and 2 months? We're hearing a lot of noise from regulators. In fact, I heard some information fairly recently about what we call a simple agreement for future tokens. Now, what that means is what it says. It means that if you are going to invest in my project, I will give you an agreement that will say you can claim those tokens at a future date. A simple agreement for future tokens. Now, for example, yesterday, I think it was, news has come out that anybody who uses such a tool is more or less saying to the SEC that we are a security token from the get-go. So you're correct, lots going on, lots of noise, lots of innovation, and especially here in the Tampa area, we've got lots of things going on from a concept development point of view. So it's an exciting time to be understanding the industry, becoming educated on this new technology. My crystal ball is telling me that we are in a period right now, as we were in the early days of the internet. We've got a lot of naysaying going on. We've got a lot of those that believe it's impossible to roll out this technology. But, you know, we all know what happened with the internet. People embraced it eventually, and it grew to what it is today. We're talking blockchain, Bitcoin as Internet 3.0 in many ways, and what we also refer to with that is crowdfunding 2.0. But going forward, 2 to 3 years' time, I believe that we'll be heading towards mainstream adoption. And it will be fairly common for groups of people to go out socializing on a Friday night and to pay in some form of digital currency.
All right, that was CEO of the Crypto Economy Summit, Shane Liddell. The website is cryptoeconomysummit.com. We'll link to that on our podcast site, of course. The event is May 10th to 11th at the Tampa Convention Center. And we look forward to seeing Shane there and speaking to him before that. As the preparations get more and more advanced, we'll want to keep our audience aware of that. Shane, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Here with our continuing coverage of the Synapse Innovation Summit at Amalie Arena here in Tampa. And we're in the blockchain block spaces hub here. Blockspace is, of course, sponsoring the blockchain hub. And we're at the Dash currency table, Dash Digital Cash. And Sean here is manning the table. And Sean, how did you come to be associated with representing Dash here?
My history with Dash goes back to early in 2015. During the Bitcoin block size debate, which became a war, which became a fork split, I was looking around for what other options exist that might have Bitcoin's properties that might actually fulfill the dream, if you will, of what a decentralized, worldwide, permissionless currency claimed to offer. I ran across Dash and found it to be the closest thing available, and I've kind of slowly gone from a little bit of Dash to I'm a official Dash evangelist, I guess you would say, at this point.
So you were initially drawn to the higher ideals of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and you find that it's more manifested in Dash now than at the original Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or any of the forks of Bitcoin.
Absolutely. I am a fan of Bitcoin Cash. Unfortunately, it brings with it the seeds of the initial problem that Bitcoin had, which is there's no governance, there's no system for deciding how the coin will move forward, except battles on Reddit and battles on Twitter and battles on Facebook. That's just not an effective way to organize or manage something that hopes to be worldwide cash.
So I do want to point out one of our sponsors, Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM and cryptocurrency ATM company. Dash was one of their first two currencies. They now have several. And they've spoken in the past on the show about the governance. But let's hear it from the person that's been chosen to represent Dash here at the Innovation Summit. What makes the governance system of Dash superior to Bitcoin or the non-governance of Bitcoin?
The fact that it exists, I mean, Bitcoin, to say that Bitcoin has a governance system is a lie. And Bitcoin is a mosh pit of people. Dash has, let me just give you an example. Okay, every 30 days the network makes a vote. So a conflict in Dash has a tendency to last for something less than 30 days. Right at the moment, the Dash community is fighting amongst itself around what color the logo should be. Should it be slightly purplish or more bluish? And should it be uppercase and lowercase or just all upper? And
this gives some gender overtones there.
Absolutely. And these are literal of the discussions that are actually happening right now. And some people are quite emotional about it. I have my own opinion. I'm not going to voice it at this point.
I'm not here at the table.
But here's what matters. In less than 3 days, the network will vote, and this process will be taken care of.
Dash will have a color.
Dash will have a color, and it will have a logo, even if what it means is we stick to the original logo we're looking at right here. And resolution to a problem is paramount. The blockchain debate in the Bitcoin Cash world is 4 years old. That whole concept of worldwide permissionless value transfer has been set back 4 years because of a silly fight that no one can figure out who the winner is.
So that was a good example of something that's voted on, but can you think of an example of a question that's come before the voters? And by these are masternode holders that get the vote?
Correct.
So if a oligarchy is more democratic than a dictatorship, but I would not just call this an oligarchy, but basically you have to have accumulated some kind of a stake in Dash to have a vote.
That is true. You need to have 1,000 Dash and operate a masternode which proves that it is in fact serving the network. In order to have a vote,
Go ahead. Sorry. Do you have an example of a vote that of more substance than the color where you thought an important decision was made?
I've seen several. Most of the votes that occur on the Dash network are funding votes for marketing processes or for the core team to get its salaries, et cetera. But there are political votes that show up when there is something of somewhat contention. I recall, of course, the famous vote to raise the block size, which took 24 hours to resolve and said, yes, we will raise the block size. I recall a vote by a faction of the Dash community that wanted to put encryption of the Dash data as, in terms of privacy, as a higher priority than expanding Dash as a network. That was moderately controversial. Dash, as you know, has a history of being a privacy-centric coin. And that proposal did not pass. The network in general said we're way more interested in getting this coin into people's hands and into circulation than we are in backing up and re-encrypting, if you will, the network. There have been a few others. Sometimes the people will simply voice an opinion by putting up a proposal to see how to find out what the rest of the community thinks.
Now, Dash was, I believe, about $20 a year ago.
That's about right, yep.
And I think it's 300 and something as we speak. It's been much higher. But even so, from $20 to $300, there's a lot of people that have been holding quite a while. They have accumulated, so what some would consider material wealth, or at least comfortability. With that, and with this democratic process, is there any examples of something more philanthropic? Well, I will be editing that word out. Any more charitable good coming out of the vote?
There have been a few sponsorships of charitable type events. The crypto show, Danny and them actually sponsored several things in Mexico post hurricane. Specific philanthropic activities, not that I am aware of at the top of my head.
Well, it's not in the mandate necessarily, but at least the facility to do it is there.
The facility is, Dash basically, it is run by the 4,700 masternodes that exist. They act basically as a board of directors telling the network what to do. They're not, in my opinion, and this is definitely just my opinion, they're not in the business of charity. They're in the business of creating a worldwide currency.
Not their mission to be philanthropic, which I was able to say the word, wanted to prove that I could do it. And I was sitting here with Sean from Dash Digital Cash. He's at the Dash table representing the currency here at Innovation Summit and the Blockspaces Blockchain Hub. So it's been a tumultuous year, highs, lows. What are you looking for in the year to come?
I'm looking forward to Evolution, the long-awaited upgrade to the Dash network, which just recently had a demonstration and a minimum viable product come out. Evolution is PayPal on the blockchain. PayPal without a third party is the goal we're after. Usernames instead of these massively complex cryptographic keys. But still on a completely trustless, decentralized...
By PayPal, you don't mean... By brand, you mean as easy as PayPal.
That is well put, yes. As easy as PayPal and Venmo, looks like PayPal and Venmo. Something that you could show someone without having to explain cryptography to them in order to be able to use this method of transfer.
And the website, I believe, is dash.org.
That's correct.
And so find out how you can participate, find out more about the governance system, all that other information, go to dash.org. Or if you're, by the time you hear this, the summit will be over, but hopefully you'll get a chance to meet Sean at some future event. He is an old-timer, and not in the way people usually refer to he in my generation. He has all been involved with Dash since 2015, so it makes you an old timer. And we will thank you, Sean, for making time for us here.
Anyone in Tampa, Florida, we are Block Spaces. We're a co-work space and a digital currency space and an incubator. We deal with all currencies. We don't discriminate. I just personally happen to be a Fashion Dan. Fashion Dan, how about that? A fan of Dash.
That's blockspaces.io, blockspaces.io. You can find out more. They're a gold sponsor here at the Innovation Summit. So quite a ramp this year in the presence of blockchain and Block Spaces here in Tampa Bay. Sean, thank you. Have a great day and a half to go here, and enjoy all the new people you're meeting.
Thank you very much, sir.
Here again at the Synapse Innovation Summit within the Block Spaces Blockchain Hub. Block Spaces, of course, a gold sponsor here at the Innovation Summit. And we're speaking with another blockchain aspect of the whole space, and that is going to be with Peter Temko. He's a CPA and MBA with Temko Financial with cryptocurrency knowledge. Peter, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Peter, it says that you became knowledgeable in this, but the space is rather new, and I don't mean to offend you, but I don't think you just graduated from college a couple years ago. You've been in financial accounting for a while, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes, absolutely. I've been in the financial accounting space in industry as a controller and a CFO for many years. I decided that I wanted to do a little bit more than that, so I opened up my own CPA firm 3 years ago, started doing taxes and bookkeeping. And myself personally got interested in cryptocurrency December of 2016, so I started dabbling in there a little bit, and as I got to know more and more about that and started being more knowledgeable on trading and mining and staking and masternodes that came about, saw that it was pretty complicated when you tried to figure out your taxes. So last year I also decided to get involved in helping people, educate them on how to handle those things so that they can get it taken care of in a way that they don't have to worry about it.
So 3 years ago you started your private practice?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. And 3 years ago, did you have anybody in your practice, any clients in your practice that ever asked you, how do I account for these bitcoins I mine, this capital gains on any cryptocurrency they hold?
I didn't. I had mostly pretty traditional clients, traditional businesses that were in the space that I was in at the time. It wasn't until I really started to dabble in it myself that I started to come across other like-minded individuals and started to build that practice.
Tell me again when you first dabbled in it.
Back in December of 2016 when I got started.
So not to go into your personal finances, but if you had sold any within that December of 2016, the 2016 tax return would be the first one that you would have said, do I have to recognize the capital gains? You probably knew you had to.
Yes.
But there would be other questions. But 2017 is most likely the first time it even would have become a possibility for any of your clients, which means you're dealing with it. Tax returns that are being completed now, heading into tax day and just a week or two away. So are you advising clients? Do you actually have ones that have to deal with some of these issues?
Absolutely. That's the biggest growth area in my firm right now, is helping people understand what their tax liabilities were for 2017, trying to help them put plans in place. Some people need some payment plans to be able to get that taken care of. So I'm helping them out with that as well, too, so they can make sure that they take care of what they need to, and do it in a manner that's not going to bust the bank for them. It's been interesting for 2018 because of the way the market's sort of gone. That's a reason a lot of people need payment plans, is because valuations have gone down a bit. It's like the worst possible scenario to have such a great year and then have the first part of the next year come down a bit.
Do you have clients within your client pool besides the ones that have capital gains issues? Do you have miners that you advise?
Yes. I have people that have been done mining. I have people that have put together masternodes that they have. Plenty of clients that have coins like NEO, where every time they check on their wallet, they've got gas that's been deposited in there. So the airdrops, hard forks, people have claimed their coins from hard forks. We go through all of that stuff and make sure that we've got it put together as best as we can. There's definitely clear guidance by the IRS on the trading. When you start to get into some of the other areas, it gets a little bit in the gray area. So the main thing I try to emphasize to new clients is let's try to get down a consistent method that they can use, not just for the stuff that they had for last year, but something that they're comfortable with sticking with for the following years, so that they can make sure if any questions ever come up, we have a very good, well-established plan in place that we can present to the IRS to say, this is why we did it, and it makes sense.
We're speaking with Peter Temko, CPA, Temko Financial, that's T-E-M-K-O. You can get more information at temkofinancial.com. The main number is 813-906-0330, 813-906-0330, and again, temkofinancial.com. So one other question that people may have to think about that isn't on the radar normally is a lot of these cryptocurrency exchanges are overseas.
Yes.
And there is a foreign account requirement. What are you telling people about that?
So if you've had more than $10,000 in one of those exchanges anytime during the year in 2017, then there's an FBAR report that has to be reported. And that's outside of your tax return. So if you're going through TurboTax or Tax Act or any kind of tax application, they're not necessarily going to ask you those questions. So that's one thing you definitely want to be aware of if you've done any foreign exchanges. Once you go over $50,000, then there's actually a form within your tax reporting that has to get filled out as well.
Now, I've heard some people tell me that if the foreign exchange only accepts crypto in and crypto out, and you don't put real fiat in and take real fiat out, you're exempt. What is your opinion on that?
I would not agree with that opinion. The IRS, as much as you might love them or hate them, they decided that they have taxing authority over U.S. citizens no matter where their assets are at. So it doesn't have to be fiat. It's assets that you have that need to be reported.
Well, whatever your situation is, it's important you talk to an experienced professional, and that would be Peter Temko. He's a CPA. Of course, there's others in the area, but he's right here representing himself at the Blockspaces Blockchain Hub at the Innovation Summit. You can find out more by going to temkofinancial.com, T-E-M-K-O, or call 813-906-0330. And actually, as you are listening to this, we probably, if everything goes right, we'll have actually spoken to Peter live on the air the previous week, but that is what the situation is with our recording here. So either way, we're happy to speak with Peter Temko, CPA. Peter, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you very much, Henry.